It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Critical third down and 8 at the 16-yard line. 29th third down defense in the NFL. Bears rising at 44% conversion on third down. Coming up at 6:15 to go in the quarter. Mustafa to snap it back to Fields in the gun. He's got a 2x2 arrangement. Snap is back against a four-man rush. Good protection. Slings it to the left corner of the end zone. Up in the air for the catch. Darnell Mooney for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Wide open. 16-yard strike from Fields to Mooney. The connection continues with these two, and the Bears an extra point away from tying the game.
That was a sweet play right there. Jeff Joniak with a call on News Radio 780 WBBM at 105.9 FM. Mark Grody and Jim Miller with you for another hour. Jim will be with us until 1 o'clock. I'll be here until 2. And we are definitely taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Cesar Perez is our producer. The Bears hitting the practice field right about now. It is around 1:40 when Matt Eberflus is expected to speak. Right before that, we will get the final injury report of the week. I don't know if things will be made any more clear about Justin Fields' status for Sunday. In fact, I doubt it. I am sure it will be a game-time decision, but we will figure that out. We've been talking a ton about Justin Fields and the Bears' offense, and we will continue to do that. I can definitely see the people that are on hold want to talk more about the offense. But I do want to sneak in one thing on the defense, and the Bears' defense has been poor at getting to the quarterback. There are some built-in issues with having lost Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith, both of whom were responsible for 3.5 of the Bears' 15 sacks in all this season. And we've seen Alan Williams try and stuff. I mean, I saw him blitzing Jack Sanborn last week a couple of times to no avail. But here is Alan Williams being asked a very direct question about the defense, and I want to get Jim Miller to react to it. Here's Alan Williams.
You know, it seems like you've brought blitzers to try and pressure the quarterback, probably more than you would have liked. It seems like that. But are you about out of ways to pressure the quarterback at this point? It seems like everybody's tried it, but yet it just seems like a struggle.
Never. Never out of ways. We still have a lot of things up our sleeve in terms of finding ways to get pressure on the quarterback. So we'll find different ways to get them down, get them on the ground, confuse them, be effective on third down.
What's the missing element? Anyway, it's a common theme, but I'm just curious at this point.
I don't know if there is one thing that a missing element. Right now, I think we have guys that are gaining experience. Guys are getting their sea legs up underneath them. We have a young group in terms of, and then we have guys that are rush is just not four individuals. If you're talking about a four-man rush, it's four working as one. So that rotation has been switched around a lot with new bodies in there. So it takes a little bit for guys to get in and know another guy. Hey, I know that this is what a guy does. I cover him on the rush. I close gaps off. So we're still working on that. We're not abandoning our four-man rush whatsoever.
Jim, is this as simple as the Bears just don't have the talent on defense to get to the quarterback?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, and it kind of unfolded yesterday in the Buffalo game, right? Going into the game, they were down Gregory Rousseau. All right, A.J. Epenesa was out. Then Von Miller gets hurt.
Yeah.
And now you're down to Boogie Basham and Shaq Lawson, who are just guys.
Uh-huh.
They're just guys.
Yeah.
All right. So what did they do? They were blitzing Matt Milano. Buffalo kind of went out of their realm of who they are. They typically want to rush with their front four, and they do not blitz. They're like one of the most least blitzing teams in the NFL, and they were bringing Matt Milano. They were trying to do things to create pressure, and I just think that's where the Bears are. Dominique Robinson's a very young player. They like him. He's talented. We'll see where it goes with him. Travis Gibson now moving back to the defensive end position.
Yeah.
Al Muhammad, he's a one-year starter for Indianapolis. He's just a guy. All right, Taco Charlton, just a guy. All right, so those aren't guys that defy the X's and O's. Von Miller defies the X's and O's.
yeah, he does. And Robert Quinn did that last year for the Bears, for sure.
And so you do see the Bears blitzing more, like when they played Detroit. First play of the game, Matt Eberflus brings a Mike Sam blitz.
Yeah.
And Jared Goff reads the hot. He throws it hot. He's a veteran quarterback. Oh, okay. All right, you're going to try and generate pressure? I'm just going to throw hot here. All right, and that's how Jared Goff dealt with it, you know. So
hey, Marcus Mariota was pretty successful last week against the Bears' blitz attempts.
Yeah, and you know, they're bringing Brisker up. They blitz Brisker. They'll bring Kyler Gordon when Kyler kicks into the nickel. They blitz Kyler Gordon. So they are doing things to try and generate pressure, but they want to do it with their front four.
Yeah,
and the Bears' front four is not.
I think we just lost.
They're just guys.
Uh huh. Yeah, and that's the way this team was set up. I mean, it was no secret, you know. Nobody tried to. Ryan Pace didn't try to pull the wool over anybody's eyes in what this team was going to be this year. So, and I think that's why, like, the bigger picture part of this too, Jim, is that, you know, Alan Williams is the defensive coordinator. He can't really. It's hard to evaluate him right now because of the lack of skill. So, in other words, I guess I'm asking you. Has Alan Williams done everything he can do to get this defense right, and then he's just hit the talent wall?
I think they've overachieved, quite frankly.
Wow.
I mean,
okay.
I give the Bears credit. They got off the field on third down last week to give their offense an opportunity to win the game. I think they're doing a hell of a job with the guys that they have. I like the secondary. I think that secondary is going to be really good when it all, you know, when they continue to develop, and once they get a front four that can rush, it's going to be good. But I think they, you know, they're a year away. You're going to go through the draft. They'll have money to spend in free agency to get what? Guys who defy the X's and O's.
I love that.
Guys who defy the X's and O's.
That's the key. And by the way, it is possible that neither Jaquan Brisker nor Kyler Gordon plays in the game on Sunday because both have been in concussion protocol. We'll probably find out more about that today. But, yeah, those are parts that I'm as hyper and breathless as we are about the offense, and we should be about Justin Fields. It's fun to watch those guys develop as well. 312-644-6767, the number. Let's get back to these phone calls, and we start with Mark in Carroll Stream. Hi, Mark. You're on the Score with Jim Miller and Mark Grody.
How are you, Redbird?
I'm doing well.
Well, fellow Redbird here. Okay. I was a little bit earlier than you.
Yeah?
But I was back in a certain WGN guy's day.
Okay.
So,
are you talking about Dan Rohn?
Yes.
Okay, it's okay. You can say Dan Rohn's name here. I love Dan Rohn. Yes. Dan Rohn's one of the greats.
Still a dear friend.
Dan Rohn, okay.
My point is, like Jim Miller just talked about, I think you got to give the Bears a break a little bit. Ryan Poles comes in, and I don't want to say that the cupboard is bare, but it was closed. So he did what he could do, and he picked up a couple good guys in the secondary, but they've got a lot of holes to fill, and they had no draft picks.
So who you get? You're giving the Bears team a break, or you're giving Ryan Poles a break? Who are you giving the?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This year. This year. Yeah.
This is a Bear. This is a Bears town.
Bears.
Everybody went nuts when they won two out of the first three. And I get that, but what did you really expect?
I got you, Mark. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it, fellow the Redbird right there. But, yeah, I mean, no, this is not – I was talking about this earlier, Jim. This is the – I can't remember another, and maybe you can, another Bears team that was this interesting and 3-8, and a team that people were captivated by and wanted to watch and still packing Soldier Field. And, I mean, the only allusions I could come up with were, you know, like Walter Payton before the Bears got good, Dick Butkus, and I'm sure people would go to just see those guys, and the Bears lost a lot of games on Dick Butkus's watch. So I don't really it's very odd, man, when you really think about it. The Bears are 3-8, and people are just as – there is no apathy for the Bears right now.
Because you look at them, they compete. They're in every game. Other than the Green Bay game, even the Dallas game that ended up being a 20-point blowout, yeah, they were in that game.
But isn't it just Justin Fields? I mean, of course people want to see the Bears win, but I think it's just Justin Fields that people have eyes on. And if they lose, it sucks, but it's like, okay, really what it's about is seeing Justin Fields do what he has done.
Well, it's that. I mean, certainly it's a young quarterback that everybody, the expectation level, I mean, here I do Sirius XM every day for 4 hours, and I had Bears fans calling in. We get this guy from Indiana, Bear Down Philly, calls in all the time. He thought the Bears were going to the Super Bowl. I'm like, dude, what are you talking about?
Well, he's Bear Down
Phil. What are you talking about?
Bear Down Phil,
Jim. Yeah, it's the expectation, just because Justin Fields in a new scheme was, you know, just going to – this team was going to go to the Super Bowl. I was like, what are you seeing that I'm not seeing?
Whoa.
You know, because I knew you as a Bears fan, and I said it prior to the season, don't get caught up in the record. Don't get caught up in it, because it's about the growth and development of young players. The Bears had more dead cap, salary cap space than any team. I think $63
million. Mm-hmm.
It's about – this year is about the growth and development of young players to lay the foundation with a new coach, two new schemes on the offensive and defensive side of the ball to lay the foundation for next year when they have the money to spend. These players have to learn and put the pelts on the wall. It's a growth and development year to build towards what they want to be. And they're in every game. I think Matt Eberflus has exceeded what Coach Williams, what Getsy is doing. They have over exceeded what I even thought they were going to be able to do with the players that they have. They're in every game, and they have a chance to win them. And it's not just Justin Fields. It's defensively at times when they can't get off the field, they've got to get better at. They did that last week against Atlanta. I was shocked. I was like, man, look at the third downs. They're getting off the field on third downs. I didn't think they would be able to do that. And they are doing it at times. So there are silver linings all across the board. But they're in every game other than that Green Bay game. When they are overmatched, out-talented, everything, but yet they're there within striking distance to win. They're competing. And that's what you want with a young team.
That is true. Let's go to Otto in Brookfield. Otto, you are on the score with Jim Miller and Mark Rohde.
Thanks for taking my call. Jim, I was listening to you yesterday while cooking the bird, and I'm actually wearing right now my 2001 NFC Central Division Champions hat.
Thank you
for your role and for all the memories on that great team, sir.
Yes.
There you go. Thank you.
Aren't you the last Bears quarterback to throw for 400 yards, Jim?
Did I
miss that? Caesar, you have a project.
I could throw a party right now, for God's sake. My arm's killing me.
Otto, go ahead, my friend.
That's not why I called, though. Grody, I wanted to give you a suggestion. I have a question for the both of you.
Oh, excellent. I love suggestions.
Oh, you're going to love this.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of the Never Lies Network, and I've seen you on there. I was hoping you did. First, can you please get back on there as soon as possible?
Okay.
When you do.
Okay.
Tape never lies. When you do, please, we need to see Dave the Cat.
Okay.
And we need at least one Harrison Ford fugitive line.
Oh, even I always if, give those.
I don't think you did last time.
Oh.
I did not hear. I was even throwing in the comment section, hoping you'd see it.
Okay. Well, that's on them. That's on the host, then. That's on the host, so.
Well, I'm putting it in your head. You can't remember.
Okay.
Cat, Harrison Ford.
Suggestion taken, Otto. What's next?
But my question. Both of you guys were around the Bears. I think, Mark, you might have been with the Cubs, but then you switched over to the Bears. You saw and were around the Bears when former nose tackle, and I think he's a podiatrist now, Eddie Goldman was on the team.
Yeah.
I was reading a Bear blogger Andy Welvin had posited that maybe Tevin Jenkins is like an Eddie Goldman. And I was wondering, since you guys were around Goldman, and you're probably around Jenkins, do you see any similarities in their personality?
No, I mean, not at all. Eddie Goldman was, I don't even know how to describe him. He was, I keep wanting to say odd, but he was just solitary. Like he just kind of was to himself, wasn't really particularly enthusiastic. I never really got to know Eddie Goldman. So, and he, you know, and he was a very, I mean, he was good enough to get a justified extension at the time. He seemed like a promising prospect, and I assume that you're trying to make the comp between Tevin Jenkins and Eddie Goldman, that somehow Tevin Jenkins has lost interest or is not interested in football. And being around Tevin Jenkins, I don't see that at all from Tevin Jenkins. But I don't know if you have a different picture of Eddie Goldman or Tevin Jenkins than I do. But yeah, Eddie Goldman was an interesting character. Not a bad guy in any way, but just to himself. Let's leave it at that, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's a part of the scouting process, and when you're interviewing players leading up to the draft, and you do have to, check the boxes, the intangible boxes of, does a player love football? Right?
You
want to draft somebody who loves to play football.
Sure, yeah, it seems like that's always the first thing they say, yeah.
Yeah, and if they don't check those boxes, I would not be drafting them, period.
Right. I mean, I don't know if, like, in the case of Tevin Jenkins, if some people put project on him because he's brainy, you know what I mean? Like, he's an engineering student, and I know that when he was in college.
Well, one, he had a medical, so I know for a fact he was off some team's boards, period.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, he was a second-round pick. I mean, he might have been a first. I mean, he was the guy that everybody was talking. I mean, everybody, if you remember, and we got to take a break here, but everybody had projected that the Bears were going to take Tevin Jenkins with their first pick in the draft until they moved up to take Justin Fields. So, the medical thing, that's the biggest part. That's the biggest part of Tevin Jenkins' career to me, Jim, is that he comes in and he essentially misses a season. I mean, not the whole season, but you know what I mean, with a structure damage. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that is a horrible way to enter the NFL. So that's the only thing I look at.
He was off other team sports, period.
Yeah. Yeah. There was damage done. 312-644-6767. Jim Miller is here. I'm Mark Grody. We are together until 1 o'clock. 312-644-6767. Folks on hold, I promise we will get to you. We'll go rapid fire when we come back here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What's the worst you've ever played through in your life?
National championship with, you know, the cracked ribs and the partially torn hip muscle.
Is there anything from that experience that either helps or changes kind of your mindset as you go through this week?
I mean, nothing changes that. I mean, you get a big game like that, that's the last game of the year. I'm playing, I got a damn near die for me to not play in that one. So, not really.
Say this isn't the national championship on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, so it's just, you know, just again, seeing how I feel, seeing if I can protect myself or not. And, you know, just kind of playing it by ear.
It sounds like they have left this up to Justin Fields, assuming that the updates on his shoulder continue to be that he's not going to do, at least this is what the doctors say. I just have such a hard time with this. It's not going to do further damage. Then it's up to Justin Fields and his pain tolerance and what he is willing to risk at this point. Bears are on the practice field right now. Matt Eberflus will speak in a little bit over an hour from right now. I am Mark Grody. Jim Miller is here as well. We are taking your phone calls at 312-644-6767. We get right back to it with John in Matteson, Illinois. Hello, John. You're on the Score.
Hello, guys. Thank you for having me.
For sure.
Number one, getting away a little bit from the X's and O's, I'd like to get your opinion on the word that was thrown around much earlier in the year, culture. Is it now non-existent, or do you see things improving? I see a lot of penalties, not including the refs.
Okay, so you're talking about that the team and the discipline more than
exactly
the culture. Okay, I could speak to culture, but discipline. Jim, what have you seen discipline-wise from the Bears? A discipline, or are they mistakes?
No, I think, yeah, you've got lack of execution out there where players got to perform better. But I do think the coach, the staff, I think they have the ear of all the players. I think those players have responded when, like, Coach Eberflus talks about, hey, we got to get back, we got to get to our techniques. You know, the perfect example is the New England game. You know, they play on Thursday night. They lost a game against Washington that they probably shouldn't have lost because they're not talented enough to win. And then they come back and they get 10 days and look how they performed. When coach said, hey, this is what we need to focus on. This is what we got to do. So I think he does have the ear of the players where they respond to what he's trying to accomplish. But again, they're just not talented as a team to finish and do it. They're in every game, but they've got to be able to, you know, in those crucial moments, be able to make those plays and be able to execute and do what they need to do. They've had opportunities to do it, but they're not good enough to do it right now.
Yeah, and I can speak to the culture piece, being in that locker room a lot, and I've said this several times. This is a really good locker room, and that falls in the category of, for whatever it's worth, you know, to people, because I know people just want the results, but it's a really good locker room, and I think part of the reason for that is, Jim, and you could tell me if this is true or not, sometimes if you're not as talented of a team, you're going to be a little bit more front and center. You're going to be a little bit more, I'm going to do whatever I have to do, you know, for this team, and you can't afford to not be a good guy in the locker room. Am I on to something with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, they know the type of guys that they want, and I do. I think this is a good, hard-working group. They're a very young team playing very young players who are learning, and with that comes growing pains. You know, it could be as small as Justin Fields not tagging Micah Parsons to get him down, you know. Yeah. And
hell of a jump, though. Hell of a jump.
It's return for a touchdown, so... Yeah. Those are the type of things that you're dealing with. They're young. They work hard. I think they do respond to the coach, and they need the experience. And I know it's hard for a lot of Bears fans to accept, and it's going to happen more. But I want to see all these competitive games towards the end of the season. They need to start putting them in the win column, where they are learning from these mistakes, and they're not happy with, oh yeah, we competed, but no, you play to win. And they'll start making the plays that are necessary to win, I think, is what's next.
Let's go to Jeff in Arlington Heights. Jeff is next on The Score. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Justin Fields, there's no question. He's a big, strong guy. He's a phenomenal athlete. But I think I'm probably in a minority. I'm not that all excited with his running abilities, only because when you look at the big picture, these teams that are in the hunt for a championship every year, or close to being in the hunt, or these teams that are in winning the Super Bowl, they don't have quarterbacks that run around like he does. And I'm just wondering, is there a danger of him becoming a run-first quarterback in his mind? What's to keep him from doing that? Because he has had such success, but he's going to get killed out there.
Well,
I don't think they should be playing him.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jeff. And hey, the thing about all of this is that Justin Fields probably, if he was being honest from the very beginning, would tell us he preferred to be a pocket quarterback, right,
yeah.
Jim? Because
yeah.
He knows that that's what he did in college, that he is a pocket quarterback who has brilliant athletic ability and brilliant speed, and he's got that part. But you put the arm with that and the passing ability, that is an MVP candidate.
Yeah, I mean, the question you're asking, is it sustainable?
Right.
Is it sustainable for him to do what he's doing? And yes, I would say no. I don't think ideally you want it to be this way, where he's taking the hits that he's taken, because he'll end up like a Cam Newton.
Right.
And Cam's
wear and tear.
Andrew Luck, big strapping guy, and, you know, did too much. But, you know, I think it'll grow and develop where it'll become, like even Josh Allen. I reference him because go look at their stats. He leads the Buffalo Bills in rushing.
Yeah.
He's their leading rusher every single week. I mean, and I think Singletary got like 70 yards yesterday, and Josh Allen surpassed him. You know, Josh, I think he had over 80 yards. I don't think the Bills want that to be the case.
No.
Either.
Well, and somebody brought
it's
this.
Not, it's not sustainable.
Yeah,
it's
it was not sustainable, right. And somebody, I don't remember who it was, one of our experts here on the Score brought this up, and it was such a great point. And that is, if we are going to talk about running backs as non-sustainable in the NFL, like where their importance has been downgraded, they don't last long, they're at peak because of all the hits they take, then we have to think about that in terms of, like, if Justin Fields plays like he has played over these last five or six games, that's wear and tear like a running back. Not to the same right. extent, Jim, but similar, right?
No, I agree. And, there have been athletic running quarterbacks. Steve Young, we can go through the list. McNabb, obviously.
Vic.
And Vic and McNabb, to me, at the latter part of years, he became more of a pocket passer. Vic the same way. And
Randall Cunningham. How about Randall Cunningham? Because he always had a big arm to go along with the speed.
Absolutely. And John Gruden coached him. He was their OC there in Philadelphia. Mm. So, and Randall became more of a pocket guy when it was all said and done, when he finished up in Minnesota and all that. And I think Justin has the talent to play from the pocket. For him, it's just getting to know the knowledge of understanding defenses, how to attack them, and processing information, and he'll get that. He's too smart of a guy. I've talked to him. He is a sharp young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He has everything, every tool that he needs to not only succeed, but to dominate.
Yeah.
It takes time. He's in a new system, and it'll take time.
Well, why does it take time? Like, the whole, like, not getting rid of the ball quickly enough? Like, what is that? Is that, again, because of what he's seeing? Like, he doesn't trust it?
Well, think about even when I played. We had actual two-a-days. All right, where you had 2 hours of really 3 hours of practice in the morning, then you come back in the afternoon, you had 3 hours of practice in the afternoon.
With pads, too, right?
Yeah, those are reps. Those are reps, actual reps, where you learn and you're seeing things and you're being exposed to things. Justin doesn't have that. That is no longer the NFL. So all those reps have been lost. All right, so when they go out on the field now, which is for like an hour and a half due to the collective bargaining agreement, there's only so many looks you can expose Justin Fields to, where he's actually physically doing it, diagnosing it, executing it at a high speed, at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is in a classroom. Or it was virtual, you know, or it's, hey, man, here's the playbook. Here's the picture. Hey, you get this look, this is how we want to execute it. He's physically not going through it, or doing it, or actually receiving a rep. It's just a quote-unquote mental rep, but how do you apply it in an actual real way until you do it? You know, a lot of these teams, think of those two teams yesterday. They did a walkthrough. Think of Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills played two games in 5 days.
Yeah.
They had a snowstorm. They had one practice virtual, and then they came back and basically did a walkthrough, two walkthroughs, and played an actual game.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Justin and all these young quarterbacks, they miss all those reps. You know, like when I came in the league, you were exposed to a lot of things, and you were thrown in there and actually did them, you know, against all these different looks. And that's just not the case how guys are brought along today. So it takes more time. You know, it takes time for these things to happen. And again, it's a new offense. He's being exposed to a lot, and he's going to learn. He's going to learn. It's just not at everybody's pace of what they want.
That's Jim Miller. I'm Mark Rohde. Gridiron Gonzo in Freeport joins us. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Happy holidays to you. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
You too.
You know, I guess the pace, Najee area, left me with a little bit of PTSD, but I actually think this has been a very good year for the Bears. You know, pace hit the trifecta of franchise destruction. He maxed out the cap. He left us with very little draft capital, and he left a roster that was probably in the bottom, you know, five in terms of just overall talent. And in 1 year, the polls, he had a reasonable draft with a limited hand and rectified the draft capital situation. We all know about the salary cap situation going into next year. It's looking very good. And, you know, the roster is bad, but this year was really about finding out who can play and who cannot play.
And, you know, I think Justin Fields can play. I think Cole Kmet can play. I think Tevin Jenkins can play. I think Braxton Jones probably can play. You know, you go to the other side of the ball, feel good about the secondary. I mean, the front seven is the issue, and then you've got the offensive line, too. But I will say I think the front seven is an area where, through the draft, you can find day one impact players. And I don't think you can say that about most other positions. So, you know, that the arrow's looking good there. And obviously free agency is going to be another area where Poles will have an opportunity to address some holes. There are a lot of holes on the roster, but, I mean, we know where the holes are, and we know where the holes are not. And I think that makes this year, regardless of the record on the field, a big win for Bears fans.
Yeah, and, you know, we've kind of alluded to that. Thank you very much for the call, Gridiron, that, yeah, he nailed it. This season is about development. It's about what we thought it was about, though, Jim. And I know that there are other developing players, and you got to find out who's going to be here next year. It has been about Justin Fields, and it has been interesting to find out about him and the changes that have taken place this year, which is why I am in that apps a little bit different from Jim, because Jim says, like, if he's good to go, start him this week. I'd prefer to see him sit this week and then just go full force the rest of the year. But, Jim, there is so much that Justin Fields can still accomplish in this year. Just, I mean, we've seen it. We've seen the progression, and I'm excited to see them at least start to give the indication of going back to a more pocket-friendly quarterbacking, you know, skill set for Justin Fields to go along with the running.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's so many situations he still hasn't been in. You know, like I said, that's why I was excited at the end of that Atlanta game. I wanted to see Justin Fields run a two-minute drill and just take it and go. You know, where he's out there, he's calling the plays. You know, it's a situation where you got to, you know, much like Buffalo yesterday, it's the last drive, you've got to come through for your team to win. We haven't seen Justin in those situations a lot. So, you know, here we're going on week 12 here. And if he plays or whether he doesn't play, maybe it'll happen for the this week against the New York Jets or Green Bay or Philadelphia or Buffalo or at Detroit.
Yeah,
those are key moments that we have yet to see from him. So there is a lot of growth in areas that need to be, you know, discovered.
Right. And I think to some degree he's already surprised fans, like just with the spectacular runs. And I think that is potentially in him from the throwing standpoint by the time the season is over as well. When we return, we're going to hear from Luke Getsy. He spoke for the first time yesterday since the Atlanta game, where some of his play calling came into question. And then the big picture question, you know, something that we've been talking about, is the Justin Fields ratio, the run-to-pass ratio. And Luke Getsy will kind of defend himself on what they are doing in regards to that and how it manifested itself against Atlanta. So we'll play that for Jim Miller here in just a second. I'm Mark Grody, and we have some open lines. We just finished our second bank of calls. So if you were thinking about calling, this would be a spectacular time to do so and talk to our producer, Cesar Perez, who will put you through to us at 312-644-6767. Miller and Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Short gun back to his right as Montgomery's had a good day overall. Three receivers to the left, one to the right. Snap, direct, handoff for keeper, rather, for Justin Fields. Can't turn the edge. Alford comes in and throws him out of bounds, and that one hurt Justin. He's on his back. Getting some attention.
Get up! No! Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer on WBBM. I'm Mark Grody right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, along with Jim Miller, who is going to be with us for about another 10 minutes until 1 o'clock. And then I will be with you until 2 o'clock, at which time I just saw Gabe Ramirez wandering the hallways here. I think he's working over at B96 right now. But Gabe will be in along with Lou Canellis from Fox. So they will have the afternoon show today, 2 to 6. I bet you they'll have a lot of Bears talk as well. A couple of calls we're going to get to here in a second, but a text here, Jim Miller from the 563. Question for Jim Miller. Seen you at Platteville and always thought you would be a great coach. Any interest?
I've been asked.
Really?
Offered to coach places. And,
NFL? You know,
yeah, it's in the NFL. Yeah. And, you know, for me, like I said, it took me, when I retired in 2006, it took me about another year. I needed like three more surgeries to get completely healthy. And I was just kind of decompressing. And at that point, I did get offers to coach, but, you know, just wasn't physically able to do it.
Oh, okay.
Because I was doing some rehab stuff.
Yeah.
And then the Super Bowl 40 was here in Detroit. And believe it or not, it was somebody from the Score, Dan Zampillo.
Uh-huh.
Who was a producer there at the Score, took a job for WXYT Radio here in Detroit. And when the Super Bowl was here, he said, Jim, I know you live locally. Would you be willing to come down? You've played in a couple Super Bowls. Would you come down to Radio Row and just talk about your experiences? And so I did. And then it was at that point, Steve Cohen, who at that point, who's the head of Sirius programming, said, hey, you know, would you come over and do an interview for us? And I did. And he goes, have you ever thought about doing this for a career? And I go, no, what are you talking about? You know, and he called me for about a year. And I was still healing up. And my wife finally told me, said, why don't you just go to New York and hear what he has to say? So I did. And it was me, Jerry Rice, and Moose Johnston. We're all there interviewing for Sirius. And at the end of the 3 days, like an idiot, I went there in a three-piece suit. And he's like, no, dude, we're just going to throw you on the air and see if you can last for 4 hours.
Radio, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I lasted for 4 hours every day. He goes, yeah, we want to hire you. Would you be interested? I go, are you kidding me? I talk football for 4 hours a day? Are you serious? From my house?
That's amazing.
And I've been doing it for 16 years.
That's great. So you beat out those other guys too, huh?
Yeah. I did. Yeah. Hall of Famers. Yeah. I got to own them.
Yeah. You guys might have been better than me on the field, but I'll be damned if I'm going to lose a broadcasting gig to you guys.
That's right. So, and it's been great, and I love it, and I love covering the Bears. I love football. Football's been a part of my life. I'm 51. It's been a part of my life for basically, you know, 42 of my 51 years on this earth, football's been a part of my life every day.
And yeah.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it, man.
And you have passion for it, find out what you love, and figure out a way to get paid for it. And that's exactly what Jim Miller is doing. That is fantastic. Let's go to Matt in Milwaukee. Hi, Matt. You're on with Jim Miller and Mark Rohde. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Well, with the season slowly hitting the back end, I'll admit I'm starting to check out the possibility of the draft. And for the first time in a while, the Bears have a top 10 pick and an interesting future with an actual draft pick to use. So I guess the thought is, you see these projections right now that I believe they're in the number three spot. My thoughts is, you guys, if they hit the number three spot, you have a shot at the big D tackle or, you know, Will Anderson, or do you trade back and try to get what's his? I apologize, I'm not going to be able to pronounce that Penn State tackle's name, Olu something or another, or Peter Skoronski. You know, which one do you think you would prioritize? I think they've all got their, you know, pluses and minuses. So I'm curious to see where you guys would go.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, it's so early right now to even make those projections, I would think. You know, but Will Anderson, obviously, from Alabama, is well thought of, and all those guys. But, you know, there's still so much to uncover in terms of the medical and all that. And guys will go up and they'll go down, whether it's an edge rusher or tackles like who was I just talking about? I talked to Jim Nagy yesterday. He runs the Reese's Senior Bowl and invites all the top seniors. You know, that BYU tackle's getting a lot of love right now. I think his name's Freeland. He used to be a quarterback and a tight end. And, boy, I guess he's got some feet, and he is a monster of a man who's gaining a lot of love right now. So there's still a lot of work to do before it's all said and done. But, yeah, pass rusher, areas of needs that you're thinking of the Bears, of course. You know, if a top tackle's there, of course you're going to consider him. Pass rusher is definitely in the mix for the Bears. Linebacker, of course, you got to think of who are the top off-the-ball linebackers that are going to be available in the draft. Those are areas of needs.
I mean, this is one of those years when they start to utter the old best player available. Like, you could actually be like, yes, take the best player available because the Bears need help at most positions. So it does make sense. And it also, to me, it makes the most sense to, you know, get an anchor on the offensive line or the defensive line. but who knows? And I honestly, like, maybe I need to start studying the draft early this year because this is like the third time people are wanting to know draft stuff. I'm not ready for the I don't have the breadth of names yet.
Well, I'm not ready either, and I think you bring up a good point because you know here when you look at that style of defense that the Bears run, and I said it at you know prior to their even when Eberflus was hired, I said who's going to be their three technique because it starts and stops there to start with that style of defense and. They tried to take a swing at the fence for Larry Ogunjobi, right? He wasn't healthy, and so they settled on Justin Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So
and he's run hot and cold all year, so that's you see the importance of it.
Yeah, so that is a key piece to that defense, so I would be researching right now if you're that interested in the draft. All right, who are the top three techniques that are out there coming out in college that would really fit this scheme that they're trying to run?
Let's go to John in Libertyville as we wind down the Jim Miller portion of our show today. John, you're on the score.
Thanks, guys. Let's do draft again, but it's a more generic question, so you won't have to be specific. But before Justin Fields got hurt, I was thinking about a second-string quarterback that would be mobile, like DTR. You said somebody. Would you consider a quarterback in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds?
That's funny because I
with all the holes.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. That's funny because I sort of got roped into a hot take the other day doing a show on NBC Sports Chicago, and we were talking about the draft, and I said, what would be so bad about the Bears taking a quarterback in the first round because of all the issues the Bears have had through the years at the quarterback position? Would it be so bad to have a luxury of riches and an asset at, you know, at the quarterback spot? And we've seen it too many times throughout Bears drafting history that these the guys from the fourth round on, they just sort of here comes David Fales, there goes David Fales. You know what I mean? Like right. it hasn't worked, and maybe that's just the trauma that I have seen from a Bears fan and then Bears broadcaster's eyes, Jim.
Yeah, well, I think there's going to be a slew of quarterbacks that are available. I don't think you want to develop two young guys, you know, so I think they would sign a veteran, whether that's Trevor Siemian, who is re-signed, but there's going to be a ton of guys available. I mean, Baker Mayfield's going to be out there. Sam Darnold's going to be out there. I mean, you're going to have a pick of any veteran quarterback that you're going to bring in to back up Justin Fields, but I've got no problem. I think you always need to be grooming guys, so if they were to draft a guy late, like a fifth or a sixth round guy, I don't think that's a problem, but I think they're going to want a veteran there to bring along Justin Fields. You know, I think that's – you don't want to have two young guys that you're trying to develop to play. So I think they're going to want an established guy at the backup spot, but you could still groom a young late draft pick. I don't think it'll be an area of focus. So.
Yeah, there's just so much, and those shows will be coming, trust me, all the draft shows. I think we're a little premature on it, and I get it. It's fun. But it will be an off season's worth of that stuff for the Chicago Bears. Jim, are you done broadcasting for the day, or you got another 4 hours to do somewhere else today? Still,
I'm an all day sucker, dude. I got another 4 hours, so grab your leftovers and let's roll.
Jim, thanks for giving us 2 hours. I appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
All right. Hope everybody has a wonderful post Thanksgiving. What a great day of football yesterday, and good upcoming week here in the NFL.
Amen, Jim. Take care. There goes Jim Miller, the former Bears quarterback, the XM radio, where he's about to go do 4 hours. He works for Fox here down the block from the Prudential Towers, where I am broadcasting right now on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. I got another hour with you guys, and there was some good stuff in the locker room yesterday, especially from Jalen Johnson, who weighs in on Garrett Wilson, the wide receiver, and Mike White. And I think you will find the analyzing of Mike White very entertaining from Jalen Johnson. So that is coming up next. I'm Mark Grody at Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.